Our guest today at the Radio Backyard Fence wants to help you take a leap. Consider her your leap coach. Her name is Rachel Scott. She loves to help people navigate their God-given callings. And maybe that's where you are today. You feel like God has called you to something and it terrifies you. You don't feel up to the task. You don't know if he's really calling you to do this or if this is just your own dream that you're trying to make happen, you're trying to force. Rachel says, into that fear and uncertainty, you need to go back to Scripture to see the leaps that God has empowered others to make. I believe there's encouragement for your soul and your leap. Straight ahead on Chris Fabry Live, welcome to the continuing conversation. You may want to tell somebody else about the program today. You're looking at the radio. It's like, I know somebody who needs to hear this. If it's not applicable to you, you can share our podcast absolutely free. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. Thanks to our team behind the scenes, Ryan McConaughey doing all things technical. Tricia is our producer. Tahira in the chair today. Anthony will be answering your calls. As a sheep herder, Philip cared about his flock. He would count his sheep, and when one was missing, he would go searching for it. One day, after hours, he found a cast ewe, meaning this sheep was on its back. It couldn't move. He writes this, "My first impulse was to pick it up. Tenderly, I would roll the sheep on its side. This would relieve the pressure of the gases in the rumen. If she had been down for long, I would have to lift her onto her feet. Then, straddling the sheep, I would hold her erect, rubbing her limbs to restore the circulation. All the time I worked on that cast sheep, I would talk to it gently. 'I'm so glad I found you in time, you rascal.'" Philip says, all of this pageantry of finding and helping the lost sheep is conveyed to his heart and mind when he repeats this simple statement, "He restores my soul." Friend, there's a shepherd looking for you. He sees your life. He wants to restore your soul and whisper gentle encouragement to you. I need that today. How about you? I want to send you a copy of Philip Keller's A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's a beautifully illustrated, hardbound classic. I want you to have a copy of that, not to put on your shelf, but for you to read, for you to walk through. Call or click through. Give a gift of any size to Chris Fabry Live. Become a friend or partner at chrisfabrylive.org. Scroll down that homepage. You'll see how you can support us, chrisfabrylive.org. Or you can call 866-95-FABRY, 866-953-2279. And thanks for your support at the back fence during the month of April. Rachel G. Scott is a devoted wife, mom, and Ohio native near the in the Cleveland area. She holds a BS from Kansas State and an MBA from the University of Mary. As a founder of the I Can't Come Down movement, Bible teacher and podcast host, she desires to inspire believers to walk in their purpose and assignment as they boldly take leaps of faith. And we are proud to tell you, taking the five leaps, it has released Experiencing God's Faithfulness as you respond to his call. It's our featured resource today. Just go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org. Rachel, welcome to the program. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you so much for having me today.
You told me on before the program that you've heard this very program and you've always wanted to be at the back fence. Now here you are.
Here I am. I am just so honored and excited to be here.
Well, we are great. I'm so glad to have you because this is a topic that I have struggled with. It's kind of haunted me through my life because I thought you only had to take one leap. You know, you had to answer the hard questions once, the call and all right. that. But the older I get, the more I see the leaps keep coming. So this is not just for young people making huge decisions early on in life. It's for all of us, right?
Right. I say that we are called to live a leaping lifestyle. And once we understand that and embrace it, things become not easier, but we understand the process a little more.
Okay. What do you mean by that? We understand the process. Meaning if you come up against hardships, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. Because we now are more equipped with how to take the leaps. We can look back on God's faithfulness and the past leaps that we've taken and know that he's going to be faithful in whatever he's calling us to do next. So we understand the process is that we are going to go from one leap to the next, but we're not leaping alone. God is with us.
Okay, let me jump forward to the logical question that somebody's looking at the radio and asking, and that is, what if you take the wrong leap? What if you read God wrong? What if you jump and there's nothing underneath there?
You know, the best thing that I've learned about God is that he course corrects. He course corrects. If we are going the wrong way, we take the wrong leap, we think that we misheard him, he will put us back on track if we're willing to hear his voice and if he's involved in the process. As long as he's involved in the process, he'll put us back where we need to be.
So grace is a part of this as well. I like that. I really like that. Yes. Okay, so how did you come up with this metaphor of the leap?
So one day I was actually having a conversation with a student that I was mentoring, and she was a healthcare provider. And we were talking about writing. She enjoyed writing. And as we were talking, I could really just sense in the conversation that she was feeling called to step into the writing more. However, she couldn't walk away from her career as a healthcare provider. It was taking care of her family. You know, it's a much needed industry. And so as we were talking, she was like, Rachel, what do I do? I want to really step into this writing, leap into this writing, but I can't walk away from everything. And it honestly took me back to so many moments in my life where I wanted to respond to the calling of God on my life, but I was afraid, I was uncertain, I was going to have to walk away from something big. And so whenever I am asking God questions or pondering on something, I will ask him two specific questions. I'll say, Lord, show me someone in the Bible who has walked through this same thing. And the second question I asked in this particular scenario was, is this the only way that we can obey and respond to the calling that you have given us? Do we have to walk away from everything? So in me asking those two questions, I started to dig into scripture, and he just began to reveal to me these five different ways that people in the Bible actually responded to the calling on their life.
That's really good. That's really good, because what you're doing is you're saying not how do I feel about this? Make a list and, you know, left and right and the good things, the pro and con and all that. You're saying, God, I want to do more. I want to do more than just put this on paper or go on my emotion. I want you to lead me. And one of the ways he does that is to show us what's happened in other people's lives before us, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I love to ask God that question, Lord, show me someone in the Bible who, because then I am inviting him into the process and inviting his word into the process of me gaining more knowledge and understanding in a specific situation.
Yes. I want to read this section because there's somebody listening today who has been thinking this very thing and you haven't been able to put it this way, but this is going to speak right into the questions that you have. Rachel writes, have you ever felt an undeniable nudge to do something completely outside of your comfort zone, but totally in the I must be going crazy zone? Or have you been right in the place where you always dreamed you would be in a career with great potential for growth, income, and opportunity, only for you to get that feeling in your gut that you are not planted in the right garden? These thoughts and feelings may be silent indicators of what I like to identify as your calling. Our calling often presents itself through the unsettled feeling we have when what we are living to do isn't lining up with what we are longing to do. I read that and I thought that describes, and I want to take a break. We'll come back and I want you to describe more about the calling, but that thought of I'm not living to do what I'm longing to do. So what do I do with that? We'll talk with Rachel about that straight ahead. Have a question, comment, 877-548-3675. Taking the Five Leaps by Rachel G. Scott is our featured resource. You'll find it at chrisfabrylive.org. Rachel Scott's with us today at the Radio Backyard Fence, taking the Five Leaps, experiencing God's faithfulness as you respond to his call is our featured resource. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org, click through today's information. You'll see it right there. And Rachel, I read that paragraph about feeling this nudge to do something, but it's out of your comfort zone. But and then being in a place where things are going well and there's income's there and an opportunity of leadership, you know, you could be in there, but just feeling like my ladder's up against the wrong wall. Talk about that calling and what that, define that for me.
Yeah, so I've talked to so many people and even gone through it myself where I'm exactly where I feel like I'm supposed to be by, you know, maybe the world standards, but I'm just not settled within myself. I know that there's more that I'm being led to do. And so when I think of the word calling, I like to say that it's the what. What is God telling me or what is he saying I need to do? And I think about when I'm calling my kids, right? And if I'm calling their name, there's a response that is expected when I call them. So there's this element of I'm calling. The calling in itself is God is nudging us or he's leading us into something else. And then there is a response component to that as well.
Yes. And that's where the leap comes in, right?
Absolutely. Exactly. And here's the other thing I want to say. The first way that we respond to God calling is when we come into salvation. He's calling us and he desires that relationship with us. So the first response to his calling is salvation. And then the second response is what he's actually calling us to do.
Right. And so many of us are caught up in the in the to-do thing that the being and the, you know, like the Psalm 23, it's like to have the Lord as your shepherd and walking alongside you. That's the thing in life. You know that he's going to guide you. You can trust right. him. But when we think it's all up to us, that's where we kind of seize up, right?
Absolutely. I can say from my own journey that there's kind of this self-reliance that I had built in God calling me. It's like what we tend to do is we hear him, we respond to it, but we respond to it without finding out the next steps often. And we respond with what we think we're logically supposed to do next. Like, okay, if he calls me to do this, then this is what I'm supposed to do next. Rather than the response being leaning in and hearing what is the next step in this thing that you're calling me to do.
Yes. See, that in the example that you gave a little earlier, as you are, you're a mentor, you're a coach to people who are making some of these decisions, and sometimes somebody outside can see it better than you can. But right. The person in the healthcare industry who wants to be a writer, you know, taking that leap, I had a friend who did that. You know, he was in some other profession and just said, you know, God's called me to be a writer. And he sold his house and he moved his family to Tennessee. And it was lean for a while. I mean, there's armadillos down there and it's really hard to eat. Although I've heard that people say you can. and he said, looking back on it, I wouldn't do it the same way. I wouldn't take that big of a leap again. But even there, he said, even though it was, you know, there were lean times, God met us there and gave him other opportunities of writing when he was kind of sequestered there in Texas that he wouldn't have had he stayed where he was. So again, we go back to, is God in control of this or not, right?
Right. And I like how you said that even in that, God still had grace on him. And, you know, there were still opportunities that came along. I feel like one of the biggest misconceptions about taking leaps is that we're not going to have this provision or that there's not going to be some level of clarity in the next thing that God is telling us to do. And the big theme around this book is that there will be provision, that there will be clarity before he tells you to do. We may not see the full picture, but we'll see enough to be confident in the fact that this is what God is leading us to do.
That happened to you, though. There's a scene in the book where you're weeping in the car, I think it was, because you had met with some financial advisors and people who were for you. You know, they were on your team, but they had some real hard questions.
Yeah. So when my husband and I, we stepped out to start our ministry, we took the leap in to start our ministry. it was one of those moments where we had what we thought was a level of clarity, but I believe that there was a different way that God wanted us to actually step into that. So we had gone to these financial advisors that we met at a conference, and we thought we were going to be talking to them about the ministry and the things that we were feeling called to do. And it really turned into a conversation that had already been brewing in me because I'm a calculator risk taker. And so it turned into this conversation about the finances and how are you going to do this? And what are you going to do about that? That I couldn't answer any of those questions. And I do know that there are times when there are going to be questions that we cannot answer. But what I did learn from that season and that experience was that there was more to the story had I leaned in a little bit more when it came to the topic of the provision and how God will provide, but also timing. And I say in the book that the anointed time is the appointed time. And so it's all about the correct timing and when we do things. And so some of the challenges we face, I believe that had we leaned into the calling and then responded by asking God, when is the right time? We may not have gone through all of those experiences. Some of those built us. They helped us become who we were. But all of the things we walked through, we may not have had to endure.
The questions and the struggle are all part of the journey that you're on. And as you say, they can tear you down, you know, and make you scared and give in to the fear. And I'm not going to do this. It's too scary. Or it can propel you forward or be part of the story now, looking back on it, where you can understand it a little bit better and help somebody else who's coming along behind you.
Absolutely. And here's the thing that I just want to encourage someone as they're listening is that us hearing that, you know, what God is calling us to do, it does not mean that it's immediate. It does not mean that it is right then. It can be a little further off. It can be tomorrow, but that's why it's so important for us to get the next set of instructions, to get the next set of how he wants us to. We hear the what, but we want to make sure we can discern what the how is as well.
Can you take me, the first person that popped into my head was David, you know, because he was appointed as, you know, he's going to be king. But there was a long time from the lineup and Samuel coming out there, you know, with Jesse's sons. Right. There was a long time between that moment and the time when he sat on the throne. So is there what's the story in the scripture that surfaces for you today about what we're talking about?
You know, I actually think about just the different leapers throughout scripture. I think about, you know, Paul, he had his own journey. We know all the things that he was walking through and how he was killing believers and doing all these things before he even stepped into what he was called to do, which was to help the Gentiles. There is always this season where we're walking through. I like to say that we're preparing. And as much as we don't want to look at, you know, Paul's story and what he was doing prior to becoming someone that we can now say, okay, he was an apostle and he led the Gentiles. As much as we don't want to necessarily see that part of his story as contributing to who he became, it was a very important part of it because it then helped to establish him when he went and had other conversations. So I look at the season where God is preparing, and we don't like that preparation season. We don't like the season where we're walking through difficult things to help us step into who we're called to be and what and how he wants to use us upon the earth. But it's a necessary part of the story.
It sure is. And there's a person, I put a question up on Facebook today, and the very first answer, what leap are you afraid to make, is the question. And Lisa said, I want to write a book, but I don't feel sure I can devote the amount of work and energy to go from writing to publishing and beyond. And the thing that I got this bug to write a long, long, decades ago. But I had somebody in my life who came alongside who was further down the trail and had been doing this for a while. And he said, Chris, don't start with a book. don't start running a marathon. You need to start smaller. And right. So he suggested, you know, figure out a way that you can write and you can get words out and have a deadline every few weeks or every month. Back then we didn't have websites and blogs and all that kind of stuff. But we had a little local newspaper in town. And the fellow who was running for mayor, who owned a salon in town, a hair salon in town, wrote this little column in the local newspaper about town, things that were going on. And I kind of read the tea leaves and said, well, he can't run for mayor and be the columnist here. And I reached out to the editor, and I can't tell you what that did for the next 2 or 3 years. Every week I had a deadline that I had to turn in my 500 or 600 words. And that gave me the confidence, and it propelled me. It also gave me an editor and showed me things I didn't see about my own writing. So the leap that I took was not, oh, I'm going to write War and Peace. It was, I'm going to write this little column, and I'm going to be faithful with that for however long that I need to be. That's what you're talking about.
Yes, yes. Starting with, you know, the small beginnings, the initial response doesn't have to be this big response. It just has to be a response to the call. And so, however, you know, let me say this. I noticed that when we give God our yes, it seems like he puts the next thing in front of us to do. And if we're paying attention, it can be as small and as big as he would like it to be, but it'll be in front of us once we give him that yes to what he is asking from us.
Okay. So giving God your yes, I'm thinking of, let's say there's a woman listening and she's always dreamed about teaching the Bible and dreamed about being in front of a crowd, you know, and doing the things that somebody else does, you know, that she, and she could see this. She's just that dream fuels her, but she's not there and she can't do that. What it sounds like you're saying is start a small group Bible study in your own home and start there. That can be the yes to this thing on the inside that God is calling you to.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I remember when I felt God leading me into speaking and being a Bible teacher, one of the first things I did was I actually contacted the local women's shelter and said, hey, do you need a chaplain? And they said yes. So I became a chaplain for them, and I would go once a month and I would get to share with these women about the word of God. That was a small yes, but it had a significant impact because I learned a lot. I learned about preparing messages. I learned how to stand in front of these women and to share the word of God and how to have conversations and pray with them afterwards. So that was my initial response was, where is there a need that I can begin to learn and to utilize what I feel like God is calling me to? Where is there a need right now?
I love that. And my follow-up question to that is, because when you give, you know, I'm sure that there are people, there are women there who say, I still remember the message that you had or the day that. But my question to you is, what did you learn from them that only they could teach you?
Oh, that's such a good question. I would say I learned that that every woman, especially that's in that season of life, really needs encouragement. They need someone who can relate to them. It's not about standing over them and saying, hey, I'm a teacher and, you know, I know more than you, but it's someone that can relate and that can lead them back to the word of God so that that becomes a standard that they live by. So I learned how to really approach the word in a way that people can understand and relate to me as I'm sharing it.
What a wonderful step that you took there in doing that. The Five Leaps, again, is our featured resource at chrisfabrylive.org. Rachel G. Scott is with us today at the back fence. I'm going to open up the lines for you. Is what Rachel's talking about, have you seen that at work in your life? Or maybe you're at a place where you're not sure if I need to take a leap or not. 877-548-3675. I want to get to the actual five leaps. But before we do that, you had some questions in here. And I think especially for younger listeners who are trying to figure out, what's God got for me? You had, here are the questions. What did you dream of becoming when you were younger? What do people always say you're good at? What do people tell you they appreciate about you? What are you naturally good at that you assume everybody else already knows how to do? Now, that's a really important one. I'll come back to you. And how do you feel you've been called to serve God and equip others in this season of your life? Why are those questions important?
Because I believe they really point us back to how we are already created and equipped and how God's already prepared us for the very thing he's asking us to do. Like all those questions, when you go back to them, you're able to lean into what God has said, but also what other people have said, because we miss it sometimes. It's like literally right in front of us. I have a friend and he was like, you know, what should I do? What should I do? And I grabbed my pillow and I said, it's right here in front of you. Just like you can see this pillow, it's right here in front of you. This is it right here. But it seems so obvious to someone else looking in, but oftentimes we can't see it ourselves.
Yes. And that's what's going to happen to you as you read Taking the Five Leaps. I think that you're going to see from the scripture that Rachel goes to and the people who populate the scriptures and how God has worked in their life, you're going to see yourself. The subtitle is Experiencing God's Faithfulness as You Respond to His Call. There's a participation angle here, and we'll talk about that and the five leaps coming up. Here's the number, 877-548-3675. Again, find out more at the website, chrisfabrylive.org. More straight ahead on Moody Radio. If you're like me, you believe life is sacred, and you make no apology for that belief. We need to speak up for those who have no voice. What a society does to its most defenseless says a lot about that society. So I am unashamedly, unabashedly for the human rights of those in the womb. I'm passionate about that. I can't help it. It's an injustice to take innocent life. But I also realize that many are making a decision different than what I believe at some point in of their lives where they don't see any better answer than what is in front of them. Here's my question. If you're like me, how do you turn your pro-life passion into action? What do you do with that? Enter CareNet. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, click the green CareNet button today, you're going to see the passion that CareNet has to turn your pro-life stance, your conviction, your words into action. You can serve women and men at risk for abortion through your church. That's why they've developed the Church Engagement Initiative. They believe at its heart, this issue is a discipleship issue. When women and men considering abortion become disciples of Jesus, lives transform. What might happen in your church? What might happen in your community if your church established a team who could walk alongside women and men who are facing these really hard pregnancy decisions? What could happen if you were to partner with a pregnancy center in your area, if you're not already doing that, to become a lighthouse for life? Find out about the training that will help turn your church into a central point of compassion in your community. Click the green CareNet button today at chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. Boy, it's a real pleasure to talk with Rachel Scott today. Taking the Five Leaps has just released Experiencing God's Faithfulness as You Respond to His Call. I think there's a lot of younger listeners who are sitting up straight. And we're going to talk about the five leaps, but let's do it in the context of Kristen's question in Florida. Hi, Kristen. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, in my current season, how do I stay in alignment to what God has called me to do while not getting frustrated while waiting or in that waiting period?
How long has the waiting period been, Kristen?
It's been about over 6 months to a year now.
Okay.
I've just been trying to navigate what is the next step or what I'm supposed to do currently.
Bingo. All right. So, Rachel, Coach Rachel, come in here.
Yes, that's such a good question and a very common one. So it sounds like you're in the season of preparation where God is still preparing you. And sometimes we already feel ready. We're like, I have everything in place, but he's often preparing you and he's preparing the next thing at the same time. So you may be ready, but he's preparing that at the same time as well. But the other thing I want you to think of is David and Joseph, and the preparation season for them took quite a while before the actual appointed time came. So just remember that the anointed time is the appointed time. So you want to move in the anointed time for the appointed time that he has for you.
How do you know when the appointed time comes then?
You know, I believe that as we are spending time with God and we're praying, there is a shift that will happen, and it will become very obvious. It'll become more than just, I know it's time. It'll almost start to feel like it's very uncomfortable for me to even still be here because I know it's time. Like, I am now delaying the process. So you'll know oftentimes, because you'll know that the reason that you haven't moved into the next thing is no longer because God hasn't told you it's time. It's because you're delaying and you're trying to figure out how to move into that next season.
Kristen, does that help?
Yes. And can I ask a follow-up question?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
So in that time, how do I not get frustrated knowing that he's preparing where I'm supposed to go or I'm still in preparation?
Yeah. You know, what I would encourage you to do is look for what he's still wanting to develop. Look for what he's still wanting you to learn, because right at that end is when it's like the main lesson is being learned. The main thing that he's equipping in you for someone else. Remember that what he's doing in the leap is often not about you. It's about other people. So there's still something in this season that he's preparing in you and that he's doing in you for whoever you are going to be a blessing to in the next season as you step out and take the leap.
Okay. So that's counterintuitive to the culture, you know, be all you can be and be, you know, choose your best life now. And, you know, God wants you to be happy with everything. You're saying that this, and that may be where some of the fear and the anxiety comes from. Mm-hmm. You're saying this, your life is not just about you. It's it's moving toward other people, helping other people, not just making you a big deal, right?
100%. One of the biggest things that I could say when it comes to taking leaps is that although we are, the best way I can put it, is the vessel that God is using to bring something forth, it's not about us. It is for all the other people who we are called to be a blessing to, because God has one goal and it's that none will perish. So everything, when we become followers of Christ, everything that we do is to facilitate the purpose of making sure that no one perishes, that everyone comes into the knowledge of Christ as best as we can. So whatever we're doing when we're taking leaps is always going to point to, how can people come into the knowledge of God? So that's definitely not me-centered. It is other-centered.
Which, with your example of going as a chaplain to the women's center that you were talking about earlier, you know, it was for you. You know, there are things that you gained from it, but the main thing you wanted to do was to be there for them, to be a minister to them, right?
Right. I wanted to be a minister to them. I wanted to be present for them. I wanted to know how to serve in that ministry well. So it wasn't just, okay, I can do this, because remember, one of the things that I shared is that other people have already seen you doing these things. Yes. But once I'm aware that this is a gifting that I have or something God is calling me to do, then I want to know how to do it well so that I can represent Christ well in doing whatever that may be. So it is, yes, there is a component of me knowing how to do it well, but it's for the glory of God so that people can see what he is doing through me and look at him, not at me.
Kristen, one more question for you. Is the situation that you're in, do you feel like you're not able to take that next step because because of fear, because of some internal struggle that you're, you know, unsure, uncertainty about what the next step is?
I do feel like it does account to fear and anxiety because of the not knowing. But I guess that's also where faith comes into play and trusting into God. But I could definitely say it was those two parts of, you know, the fear of going into that next step.
Well, I have good news for you because I feel called to send you a copy of this book. And I'm going to do that, taking the five leaps. So you hang on, don't hang up. Tahira will get your information and we'll get a copy of this in the mail to you. Taking the five leaps, experiencing God's faithfulness as you respond to his call, is written by Rachel G. Scott. Before we go back to the phones, let's go through the leapers. You talk about this is, there are several chapters in here, five different leaps that we can make. The fisherman's leap, the shepherd's leap, the builder's leap, the tent maker's leap, and the trailblazer's leap. So take us through each of those. Can you describe them for us?
Yes. So let's start with the fisherman's leap. This is the one that most people can relate to, where God is telling them to completely leave their career and to step into their calling. And this is centered around the story of Peter. And, you know, Peter and the disciples and how they were called out of the boat completely and to go follow Jesus. So this is the one that most people know about, most people relate to, and that scares most people because it is. It can be very intimidating and scaring. But the second one is the tent maker leap, which is based on the story of Paul. And this is when your career and your calling occupy space in the same season. So you may not be leaving your career completely because it actually helps to fund the calling in the next assignment that God has given you. What I have found is that a lot of tent makers become fishermen at some point, but not everyone does. And that is still a leap to have to step into that business or that ministry or write that book and do the marketing and all that while you are still working. Yes. The next one is the builder's leap, which is centered around Nehemiah, which Nehemiah is one of my favorite biblical characters, hence the I Can't Come Down ministry. And that is when you temporarily leave your career to go into your calling, and then you go back. So I worked with a writer years ago, and she was an airline pilot. And she left her job for about 3 months to write her book, and then she went back to being an airline pilot. So that was, she was doing a builder's leap at that time. The next one is the shepherd's leap. And this is when you, this is based on Abraham. And this is when God is calling you to relocate. He wants to give you new territory. He wants you to occupy a new space. And finally, the trailblazer's leap, which is Jesus. He has done all of those leaps. And I often say that we are called to live a leaping lifestyle because that's exactly what Jesus did. He did all of the above leaps and he taught us how to do it ourselves. And so we become, we're able to disciple other people in the leaps as well.
Perfect example, especially after this weekend, perfect example of someone who came for others, who didn't grasp equality with God, you know, something to hold on to, but humbled himself for the glory of God, you know, did what he did, sacrifice was the perfect sacrifice so that we could have a relationship with God. I mean, that's okay. So which are you looking at today as you listen today? Is it the fisherman's leap? Is it the shepherds, the builders, the tent makers, the trailblazers leap? I think this is going to help somebody. If you go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, click through today's information, you'll see Rachel's book, Taking the Five Leaps, Experiencing God's Faithfulness as You Respond to His Call. You've heard those leaps, and we have some more questions for Rachel coming up. More about that straight ahead on Moody Radio. Thanks for your support of the Back Fence. Robin in Michigan, God bless you, friend. Thank you for your encouragement even today. And for those of you who've given and are continuing to give prayer requests about your lives, I see those. Thank you for your support in the middle of where a lot of people are struggling these days. That's why I wanted to have our guest on today talking about these different leaps, because my sense is there's a lot of folks who are going through real struggle about God's faithfulness, His calling on your life. What do I do in this season? What, no matter what age you are, Taking the Five Leaps is our featured resource. So here's there are two questions that are up. There's one, Dolly, I'm going to get to you. Hang on. But we had a caller a little earlier who said, I feel called to start a ministry. My wife isn't on the same page. What should I do for my wife? There's a lot more to the question than that. Dolly, you are in a ministry and you're having the same kind of question. Is that right?
Right.
Tell me about it.
Well, for a long time since I was in college, and I felt calling by the Holy Spirit, by God, to start a ministry. So my husband, actually, we both of us are Christians. So he went to school, he became a pastor, but in the house, I'm always the one discussing about starting a ministry. I felt like God is calling me to start a ministry for him. So since he was my husband, he went to school, so we started praying at someone's house. And then later on, I was like, okay, no, now it's time. Let's move on. Let's rent a little place and start praying, doing Bible study and stuff. But I felt like the call is in my life because now he's just on autopilot. I don't feel like he was really called to do that or even to lead.
He was kind of living off of your call, in a sense, and helping you. And he wanted to support you.
I hate to say that, but it is, because when I see things that are not going the way it's supposed to go or the way we're supposed to do it, and if I suggest anything, he gets very defensive with me. And basically the ministry is not going. The ministry is like almost dead. And I still feel there are so much God put in me that I can do, but it's like I'm trying not to create chaos or even to create a division. So I stay there. I'm not growing. I'm not happy. Yeah. I want to leave, but every time I try to leave, I end up, going back, because I'm like, oh God, I started this and now I'm running away. So it's very stressful.
Well, and I think the similarity of the two questions then, Rachel, is not on the same page. So I don't know how you answer that question, because it's a complex, it's a marital thing as well as a ministry thing. So what do you say?
So I can only share from my own experience, and my husband would give me permission to share this. We went through something very similar as God was transitioning me to start my ministry. And so what I had to do was I actually had to pray and ask God to show him what he was showing me. That was the first thing. And then the second thing is to begin to pray for God to reveal to him what he's called him to do, because that could have been the beginning phase. So for us, the ministry we had was the beginning phase of it, but I had learned so much in there, and the confidence that I had in my writing and other areas came from that ministry, but that was a start. That wasn't the full picture. And so I had to really ask God to show him, because me saying it wasn't going to accomplish the goal. But now he looks back at that time and he sees exactly why God was leading me to step into this new season. So I want to encourage you to make prayer the priority, but maybe change how you're praying and make the prayer about him and God revealing himself to your husband, so that he can understand the identity that he has in Christ and what God is calling him to do in this season.
I wonder if an honest conversation between the two of them and our other caller too, an honest conversation might free them up. And so, let's put all the cards on the table. Here's the deal. This is how I'm feeling about this, so that it's open and there's less defensiveness and encroachment and all of that, that having that conversation might free them both up, and the prayer plan. You have the last four chapters. There's the prayer plan, the posture of preparation, your petition, and your propel. I know you can't do that in the last minute here, but what do you say about that path that you're talking about?
That it begins with prayer and that it ends with propelling and perseverance. And everything in between there comes from that posture of how you're praying when it comes to when you're responding to his call. So the prayer and everything in between there comes from that posture of prayer and seeking God all throughout it, about your family, about your spouse, about the call, about the people he's calling you to. You want to get all of that information from God and then go forth in what he's saying.
And a prayer, just like in as I read the Psalms, just so honest. It's so dead level honest, you know. But a prayer that says, God, I feel this call from you. I have this stirring in my heart, and I'm struggling with this because I've got fear about moving ahead, but I don't want to stay still, and I don't want to jump in a, you know, just pour it out like that. What do you add to that prayer then?
Let his will be done, that we want his will to be done and his timing. So, but I agree, you want it to be a full, honest prayer with God about everything. And you'll see what he does is going to be so amazing.
And the other aspect of this, oh, Dolly, hang on the line. I want to send you a copy of the book as well. The other aspect of this is as you walk the trail with the shepherd and you put your full faith, hope, and trust in him to guide you. And I read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 today. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. He's going to show you where to go. So you can you really can trust him, even though it might get a little dark. Right, Rachel?
That's right. That's right. Not your own understanding how this should look, when it should be done, but let him direct you and you'll end up right where he wants you to be.
I'm glad we had the conversation. Rachel, thank you for putting your time and your effort into this. I think it's going to help a lot of people. Come back and see us again, okay?
Thank you so much. Absolutely.
Rachel G. Scott, Taking the Five Leaps, Experiencing God's Faithfulness as You Respond to His Call. I hope the conversation has really encouraged you and stirred you in some way. Come on back tomorrow. Chris Fabry Live's production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.